The fare in the camp of Bones's men had decidedly gone downhill with their cooks leaving and much of their supplies destroyed. It was now mostly venison and beans. Not one sign a preacher had been found by the daily patrols. It had been 2 weeks since the cooks and servants left and Preacher had burned their camp. The nobles thought that Preacher had fled. Bones and Van Eaton didn't care. It really made no difference to either man. The longer they stayed out, the more money they made. The rules and rates of this game had changed. Each of the men were being paid $5 a day, a very princely sum. However, as leaders, Bones and Van Eaton were receiving substantially more. In addition, when or if Preacher was found and the aristocracy killed him, each man in the group would receive a cash bonus. The entire group could have the reward money posted on Preacher's head. Literally. The reward money could only be claimed by bringing Preacher's head back as proof. A carefully packed glass jug and pickling solution had been brought by the second group. Up near the timberline, Preacher was getting bored. His hopes that the hunting party would go away and leave him alone had been dashed. It was midsummer now. Preacher figured he was just going to have to find a way to end this nonsense. The camp of the manhunters had shifted, the unwashed multitudes crawling out of their blankets, shaking out the fleas and various other bugs, and heading to the fires for coffee. Bones squatted by the fire, warming his hands and waiting for the water to boil. He was always surly in the mornings, and this morning he was surlier than usual. Even Van Eaton didn't dare to speak to him. The gentry were gathered together, as usual. They preferred their own company to that of the unwashed. Bone reached for the coffee pot. Rifle ball banged against the big iron kettle, ricocheted, and struck the man to Bones' left in the center of the forehead.
Shit! Hit the dirt!
One of Bones' original group, Joey York, was a tad slow in taking cover. The body fell into a cook fire, setting his clothing and greasy hair ablaze.
God damn! Somebody pulled Joey out of the fire? That smell is awful!
One man jumped up and made it halfway to the smoldering body of Joey. The Preacher shot him in the neck. Andy Price stuck his head up and peered over the log he was hiding behind.
He's got to be in that little stand of trees over yonder, but that's a good 300 yards off. Man, he can shoot.
Andy lost part of his ear. Fell back behind the log, blood pouring down his neck.
Oh, God! He's killed me!
Ah, calm down. You'll live. But you're going to be wearing your hat funny from now on.
Jesus! Joey's stinking something fierce. Ain't nobody haul him out of there?
You want him out, you haul him out. I ain't moving.
Archmen, into the fray!
Charge your goddamn own self.
By God, I will! Where's my saber?
Baron Zahnbelker quickly scurried away from Elmore.
Stay down! Don't be a fool! Preacher's got us cold.
He's moving, heading off for the south. If he makes the creek, he's gone for sure.
Here it is!
Sir Elmore jumped up, waving his saber. Baron Zahnbelker was keeping a good eye on the Englishman.
Now's our chance! Charge, men!
Sir Elmore ran toward the creek, waving his saber with Sullivan and Steinwinder right behind him.
Oh, horseshit! Come on, boys. We can't let nothing happen to them people.
En masse, the men who were left behind came to their feet, all running, waving rifles and pistols. Preacher's bullet hit Sir Elmore's polished saber. The Englishman fell like a railroad spike being hit with a sledgehammer. Bones dodged as one of his men took a bullet to the gut and crashed face first into the dirt. Bones looked up just in time to see Preacher, barely 250 yards away, leap up and take off running, zigging and zagging through the grass and brush, heading for the ridges. Preacher put several miles behind him and the scared, shook up, and bloody band of manhunters. He wasn't worried about them following him, not anytime soon anyway. He threaded his way through the timber and topped a ridge. Preacher looked down into one of the prettiest canyon valleys in this part of the country. He stared hard at the scene before him. Then he blinked, but the scene remained unchanged. Three wagons, a half dozen cows, and riding horses.